Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
And nothing, not even your opening music. Not even your opening music. So I'm not really sure what you're doing on your end, but I can tell you that what's going on this end. There's your music.
Yes, what's up? Yo, this track's for anyone who's ever fallen down before. Time to get back up. We as a people, we as a nation, we as a society.
Nope, you are not there. By the way, Kevin, we do not hear you.
Yeah, that's what we were just talking. Oh, hey, Mike?
Yeah.
I hear you. I hear you.
Hello?
Can hear you now. Can hear you now.
Hello, I hear you. I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so this show, some thought it was about equality, but we actually were just joking with you guys. It was actually all about how to use a microphone and Skype. I've been trying for the last half an hour here trying to get something to work. I think something internally was muted in one of the control panel settings. Anyways, long story. Hey, Annette.
Hey, yeah.
Okay. I apologize to the people that are already online again, but just for recording's sake, would it be possible to restart this show one more time, and then we're just going to probably maybe...
You know what, Kevin? Just go ahead and do your show, and okay. I will just extend it.
Okay.
We don't have to start it over again. You just introduce it, and I will just extend the time.
Okay.
I can do that in the studio. So you just go ahead and roll, and I'll give you 90 minutes from when we're going. So it's no big deal. We'll fix it. It'll work.
Great. Brandon said he can hear us now too. Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Well. Do you mind can we start with the Horton thing again too? Is that fine?
Yeah, you can. You've got it right in front of you, though.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll start one more time there. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Okay.
Hey, no problem, dude. No.
Yeah.
You go for it. It's all good. Right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay.
We got liftoff. Woohoo!
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Yeah, that's how we do.
Okay, how's everyone doing? We're going to skip the audio for this show just because I don't want to tamper with anything that's already been tampered with, I guess. This is show number 7, and myself, Mr. Peace, Kevin Zawala here, live out of Garden City today. I started the show solo back at the scheduled time at 1:30, but we had a couple of technical difficulties, which has taken the show to start closer to 2:13 p.m., and it's actually a blessing that we did that because two of my guests for today have arrived in the meantime, so very happy to have them with us. We have Juan Zoe, a.k.a. John Smolinski, with us today. Do you want to say hi?
I'm chilling with Mr. P.
That's right, Mr. P. I'm going to be laughing the whole time. This is great.
We've been waiting for that flower.
Waiting for the flower to bloom, that's right. We got some folk artists here, drums, guitar, singing, everything. They're in the studio with us today, and very happy to have them with us. We've been doing some peace concerts all over the state the last couple of years, myself and Joe, and just probably for the last year or so with Wanzo. So been going all over the place, Royal Oak, Kalamazoo, Ann Arbor, Lansing. I mean, it's been a pretty incredible journey so far. So that's awesome. We have listening in to, not in the studio with us today, but my main guy, co-host, Mission Smith, Michael Mission Smith. Mission, are you there?
Yeah.
How are you today?
I'm good.
All right, good stuff. Hey, are you on speaker right now?
I may be. Let me double check and make sure I'm not.
It's a little bit scratchy.
It kind of sounds like a zombie.
Which,
there we go.
It sounds like you're being electrocuted.
Which is good, though, because Mission's been working on a movie short about zombies. So special props to him. Please check out his Facebook page to see more info about that and everything that's going on. But the show topic today, if you want to call in, the number is 646-378-0378. If you already called in, we appreciate your patience and waiting for us and your forgiveness, too. That being January's theme was all about forgiveness. And so it's great to move now into a very needed topic, necessary topic, and this has to revolve around equality.
Mike brought it up actually last month when we were in the studio and talking about our calendar for this year and what we wanted to focus on, and pushing towards equality, human rights was very high on his list, especially it being February and Black History Month. So with that, the conversation that I wanted to start with today, and again, if you want to talk with us, share your heart about something else or about equality, hit the number one on your keypad. But the question we wanted to start with was basically, what is equality and how do you define it? And we've got some responses coming back up on the F-book. Again, that's Facebook for any of you guys that haven't been caught to speed there, our abbreviations that we use. But we had a couple responses come back. I'll just go through a couple here. One of my buddies actually from college, he said equality to him means judging everyone on the basis of their achievements given their circumstances while eliminating preconceived notions. He said everyone doesn't come from the same place but should have the right to the same opportunities. And I know some people are from the school of thought that equality is, you know, judging everyone on their achievements, on what they do, not their skin color or their circumstances sometimes. But some people say, no, we have to also take into account some of their circumstances, whether it's the poverty factor or, you know, the city that they come from, you know, whatever the ratios and probabilities are for the people of that specific school district or work district, whatever it is, that they need to sometimes, you know, be helped out more than other people as well. Another person talked about stratification and basically being inequality that's made concrete and made permanent, and that we need to have an end to that, and that equality means that we have equal opportunity across the board, you know, that you look at someone for, again, their character and their resume than just on what's the outside and what's on the outside, right? And to also have sufficient resources in place, both private, public, to ensure that we do have this equal opportunity that becomes met. One other comment that just came in: equality means no one above and no one beneath. So we all have common goals in life, and we are all striving to get the best that life has for us. If we realize that we will all get there together, the less harm and hurt we will cause to one another. So the same people that you meet growing up, you know, you're going to see them coming down one day too. So, you know, why not work together? Why not be equal? I want to open up the mic. Like I said, I got some great minds of different generations here with us today. And I wanted to just kind of pick their brains too as to what equality has meant to them over the years and what they've been seeing as of late. So Wanzo, Joe, and you guys got some thoughts here.
The first thing I've noticed about the conversation that we've had already is you mentioned judging people, and I think if we're going to have equality, we've got to put an end to judgment in the first place. If we can refrain from judging others, especially in our own light and expecting certain things from other people, I think we will find that naturally, we will identify each other as equal, and the prejudices will dissolve automatically.
Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, that's a great point. I was kind of talking with Mike before the show with Mission about human rights and how they kind of relate to equality in general, and especially looking at the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And talking about what the UN talks about as human dignity. And, you know, again, we do all these shows, and the one shirt that I keep wearing is Human One Race, and trying to see people for that, you know, for the fact that we are made, you know, from humans, and that, you know, that we are all born, you know, like the same type of way. And most of us put our pants on the same way in the morning. I don't know if it's, I mean, some people do it a little bit differently, I guess, but I know the people that definitely get out there that, you know, become really successful, make a lot of money, and all of a sudden, you know, it's kind of like, you know, they're better than everybody else that's not at their level. And that when we talk about giving out help for the, you know, people on welfare, people that are needy, you know, the comment that I always get and that I got throughout the summer with that penny poll that I took across the state and asked people where they want their tax dollars to go, common thread that I got a lot from a lot of these communities was, you know, that we don't want to help these people in need because a lot of them are free riding. A lot of them are free loading. You know, a lot of people that are on unemployment, a lot of people that take these benefits don't really need them. And I say to people, you know, I kept saying that, I said, yeah, I mean, there's probably some cases like that. But I truly believe that we have to believe that there are more people that are in need that are actually using these for good than there aren't. You know, yeah, you're always going to have those special situations of people that are selfish and taking advantage of the system, milking the system, if you want to call it that. But, I mean, when it comes to equality, it's like, it's just, if we are going to work together, like one of the comments we read, then we have to lend that helping hand, and we have to humble ourselves.
I like to look at this issue. I want to break it down to looking at this issue more elementally and go back to the day we're born and incarnate on this planet. And I like to look at this issue, it's just coming to me, these thoughts, from a horizontal and a vertical perspective. And when I think about a person's achievements and what they achieve in this life and the economic success and revenue they generate for themselves, the higher they go on the level, I look at that vertically, because that's incumbent on how you develop yourself. But horizontally, when you and I are all born into this world, and this is where I like to think of human rights, when we're all born into this world, just because we're born into this world means we are vested in ownership of the resources, of the abundance, of the prosperity of this planet.
Right.
Now, if you're given the opportunity, if you're lucky, you can make more of yourself and go higher on that vertical ladder. But then inherent in that, does that mean that you have the right or that the mindset comes to you to hold others back or not grant them that opportunity somehow? You know what I'm saying?
And that's because exactly what does happen.
Right. But I think, again, horizontally, when we're all born, none of us know what direction our life's going to be taken. Some are born with more privilege, others less.
Right.
But I think just incumbent to being born on this planet, we all have ownership of the abundance and the resources on this planet. And so therefore, you know, we have the right.
That is the right.
Human right.
Yeah.
And to a decent living, to a roof over our head, to 3 squares a day.
Exactly. And you always hear the statement, you can feed this world over two times, three times with all the resources and food that we currently have. But there is this inequality, right? There's this people that, you know, don't have access to all these resources because of the government structure in place, because of militaries, because of unfair rulers, you know. And I guess, you know, I mean, when it comes down to it, why are we here today in this room? I mean, why aren't we taking what's ours? Why aren't we saying me, you know, push, and stop? And I mean, what is it that's driving us to want to talk about this issue? I mean, and we want to get to the core of things.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's what it comes back to. Mike, did you want to say something?
Yeah. As I was listening to the conversation, there was a lot of good points brought up.
Hey, Mike, you're not on speaker still, are you?
No.
Okay, it's pretty scratchy. Is it possible for you to call back in?
Is it better now?
No. Not really.
Okay.
Maybe try to call back in. If not, shoot me your comments on Facebook or tweet me, and I'll make sure that I bring it up, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, man. But, yeah, I mean, what brings you here today, Joe?
Well, I just want to touch on one other thing, and that is the equality that we're talking about is born because there's a need for certain parts of the citizenship to control others. The control is necessary for the system to exist. So what we need to do is identify that and rebel against it, get rid of it. We cannot have the lives of others, the suffering of others, allow to exist any longer. That's why I'm here. I'm here to put an end to suffering.
Yeah, and all of your music definitely touches on that, which is extremely powerful and continues to inspire me, you know, for all the freestyles that we do at all these coffee shops and parks that we come there for. But how about yourself, Juan?
Well,
brings you.
I'm a very basic person. I'm just a working class individual. Okay, I don't have this endeavor to own. Excuse me, Mr. Romney, two Cadillacs, a Mustang, a truck, and try to impress everybody, you know, with my political pandering. You know, one vehicle that gets me to work and back is good enough for me if I had a job, because I was laid off permanently. So now I'm part of the real 99%. So, you know, I look at these issues, and to me, it's like it comes back to the basis of where does all this control Joe's talking about over other people's lives stem from? And it stems from, I think, the more you have, the more you want. I mean, I don't think the trickle-down theory works. The more you have, the more you want, the less you want to do, it seems, for other people. So it comes back to a certain mindset of greed that has developed in this country. And it's like, I've got mine. I continue to get more of mine. And somehow the switch has flipped in this country.
Yeah.
Instead of being based in Christian Judeo-Buddhist thought of being compassionate, helping others, that's gone by the wayside. And it's like, it's like, I've got mine, the heck with you.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the values? Is that American?
Right.
Is that democratic?
Yeah. And
the middle class and the people that actually produce things in the, not only in the country, but in the world, are treated, and I've said this many times, are treated as a commodity. We're like a crop to these corporations and institutions that actually farm us, and they make us sick. They make millions of dollars feeding us poison, and then they make billions of dollars treating our illness. And that is the genesis of what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
The inequality goes so deep that it's almost invisible. It, as a matter of fact, most people don't know that it even exists, I would guess. And I guess that maybe the biggest problem that we're facing is to bring the awareness to the general public and let them see exactly what's happening, not only to your neighbor or the person in Appalachia or downtown Detroit, yourself, your family, your kids, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's exploitation across the board. It's planetary exploitation. I mean, we could talk about the bigger issues of the war and everything you see in the newspaper, the stuff that is in your face. But there are subtle forms of corruption of human rights that most of us don't know about, or that doesn't cross our consciousness. For instance, I think of the chocolate industry, okay? and I bring this up, and I'm not going to mention any company names, obviously, because you can go to any liquor party store, you can go to any grocery shelf and find the chocolate companies I'm talking about. But most people don't understand that where those chocolate beans come from, the corporations that get the cacao beans to create the chocolate, buy it on the open market, but do they know the source? No, and they don't want to know the source, because when they're approached about the fact that chocolate beans are harvested by children enslaved or their families enslaved in the countries that produce the cocoa beans, they don't want to own up to that. There's no corporate ownership, and when approached and asked about that, it's like, oh, well, we buy the cocoa beans through a middleman.
Right.
So that's not our responsibility, but do we have a responsibility as citizens worried about human rights in our own country to think about these children enslaved in countries where they produce the cocoa beans to get these chocolate bars to us?
That's a great point. Right. That's a great point, because that brings a whole new issue out, and that is national boundaries. And just because someone drew a line on a map between Mexico and Texas or any other country, are we supposed to follow suit and think of them as something different because they live on the other side of a river or another side of a road in some cases? No, their heart beats the same as ours does. Everything is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Divide and conquer, Joe. Ah,
and I mean, what really binds us all, and you know, I've talked about this before and discussed it with my youth numerous times, is that basically pain. You know, pain and suffering is what universally all of us experience. You know, all of us bear a certain cross, and all of us have that we can relate to. And to empathize to your common man, to your common woman, I mean, that's what the goal is. You know, the people in this room I'm not so worried about, because for sure they're very concerned and their heart bleeds for a lot of the people that are in pain, even worse than some of what we've been through.
We're all in pain.
Yeah.
We're in pain.
That's right.
We know what it's
that's
like.
Right.
The bottom line is it's all exploitation, exploitative consumerism or exploitive capitalism, again, based on greed. I want to profit at the expense of others, at the expense of the environment, but where does the profiting come in,
right,
and where does the exploitation come in? It doesn't come in at the level of the 1%. It comes in at the level of the workers producing the goods, whether it's an iPhone and they're exposed to toxic chemicals, toxic waste, whether it's a poor neighborhood in Southwest Detroit where manufacturing plants spewing toxins are located.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and
we
bees.
Can do that
I
song
want the
for
money.
You.
That's what I want.
There was a quote once that the Beatles couldn't figure out what side of that coin they were on. They did that's what I want. Then they did money can't buy me love. So
that's right. Chilling with Mr. Peace. This is show number 7. We're talking about equality, human rights. We got a The energy in this room is getting pretty intense. I like it. I like it a lot. Talking about, you know, what's at the core of this topic and what's at the core of quality in general. You know, what I started thinking about as you guys were talking and talking about workers, talking about corporations, this whole shift in mentality, some people finally waking up and trying to take some type of action towards this. We talk about the Occupy Detroit movement, the Occupy movement in general, going all across the country, all across the world. I know you guys spent some time down in the D for this. Call in number again, 646-378-0378. Hit the number 1 on your keypad if you want to speak with us, share something. But if you guys just want to touch on, you know, your experience that you had down there, either playing music with them or just what you kind of thought about as you saw and witnessed what was going on.
Well, I'll say this. I'll say that I believe that the occupation is a good thing. I believe that we need it's a form of peaceful revolt. I agree with that. I feel that it may be dangerous in certain areas because of just human nature has a tendency to become violent. And when the police are pepper spraying people sitting on the sidewalk, and then someone retaliates, it's like in a hockey game. Somebody poke you with a stick, he gets away with it. But if you do something back to him, you're the one that's going to get the penalty. And so we have to be very, very careful down there not to be guilty of any infractions or something that will give anyone a reason to come down and put an end to it. We have done a show. We did a show for them down there, a benefit, just before Christmas, I think it was, after they had gone inside. But they're planning on coming back out to the park this year, and we're going to be there with them and for them.
I think what's important to realize, too, and we talked about this in our show, Peace and Nonviolence, and the author Paul Chappelle of Will War Ever End, you know, he had talked about the fact that look back to history, women's rights, equal rights with the voting, African Americans, you know, trying to get their civil rights and, you know, become fully present in all establishments, you know, that they are not 3/5 of a person, et cetera, that these revolutions that have happened and peaceful, you know, for the most part, and nonviolent, only had about 1% of the active population that was actively engaged, that created this a total shift. And we're talking about this, you know, 1%, this 99% really, right, of the people that are at the middle class or below that, or whether or not even they're higher, that want justice for all, that they're fighting this, you know, the people in power, but to resist nonviolently, and we've seen it work time and again in the past, you know, Gandhi, MLK, et cetera, that it gives us hope, really, that, you know, that we can change things and really actively grab a hold of what needs to happen with limited numbers. you know. And so the more people I see waking up, the more comments I see on this conversation on Facebook, and the more people we see running through the park of Detroit, and the more exposure that we get worldwide, I mean, of the brutality that's coming back at us, it's just making people want to end a lot of the injustice and inequality even more. So I think that's been a great thing. Now, what I've also seen is, you look back to the tsunamis and hurricanes and earthquakes and the Twin Towers and, you know, all these horrific events and tragedies in our past, natural related or human man-made, that what you see happen in these times of crisis is people come together, right? People bond together. And I feel like this Occupy, in a sense, I mean, yeah, it's a crisis and it's ongoing. But it wasn't as catastrophic of a thing that bound us together. So it's actually more proactive, and something that I can look to as even that's given me a greater sense of that, like a renewed sense of hope almost into what's been happening.
The people that are in power now, one thing that we cannot let them do is politicize the occupation. It's not political. Over the years, they have divided us into a million different pieces: man against woman, old against young, rich against poor, black against white,
right,
gay against straight, you name it. They've just divided everything in half again and again and again and again. So far, the occupation is about freedom, about justice. So I can't see how we can ever let them divide that up. I mean,
sure.
Who's going to be against that?
Sure.
How can we allow that to become politicized?
Well, though I'll take issue with that, because I mean, in following recent events and if you may term it the spring offensive of Occupy coming up and the discussions that I've read about in various places, there are people running for office on an Occupy ticket. Now, is that a good thing? Because that's becoming political.
I don't think it is.
Thing? But then, how do you change within the structure that we have with the political parties? You have the Tea Party that started off as, if you may say, a sort of Occupy movement, not affiliation, but they became incorporated within the Republican Party and are working within that structure. So
that's their problem.
This
is like, say, Martin Luther King would have run for Senate. That's where we're at with this. We can't. This should never. They are trying to politicize it.
Yeah.
They are trying to turn people against it, and that's the best way to do it.
But don't you think candidates running on an Occupy ticket to work within the system is a good thing? And again, if you place those restrictions on the Occupy movement, then it's not a free movement. If you say that no, some of you cannot run for political office and be backed as candidates and get elected to office to work within the system, then are you not limiting the Occupy ability to work in several different directions?
I just think that will destroy it.
I'm going to create a peace tea party. So we're going to have it's just going to be peace tea for everybody, and that's how we're going to move forward on all these things. And Martin Luther King talked about this in the past too, that on one hand he has to change the individual, attempt to change the individual so that society has a chance, so that the institutions that govern us have a chance and reach them at that level. And the other part of him said, well, I got to change society so that individuals even have a chance there. So part of me, to your point, Juan, is saying, yeah, that we do got to get, beaten down the politicians' doors and make this happen. But then the other part of me is, obviously the part of you that says this fight is pointless, going that way. But the bottom line is, politicians, whoever it is, right, are going to eventually listen to the people if enough of the people that are putting them in power are finally standing up for what they want. And you look back to MLK Day, Congressman John Conyers Jr. been doing a lot for our peace efforts too in the Detroit and southeastern Michigan area, had talked about his want for this Martin Luther King Day to happen, right? And it finally did, but it took about 30 years for people in popular opinion to finally buy into it. His idea when it first came up, oh, that's crazy, that'll never happen. Then when it finally shifted over to what people wanted, the public opinion, then all of a sudden every politician and congressman was jumping on it. Oh, I introduced it, it was my idea.
Right.
And so
co-opting
it's going to be And people got to understand this, that it's going to take time. You know, it's not just going to be a six-month stay in a park. It could be a couple of years. It could be a decade. It could be two. I don't know. But that's why we can never, ever lose hope. And that's one thing that, you know, people that are in jail, people that are homeless, that's one thing a lot of them lack is that sense of hope. And I've heard of politicians before, too, that say they've compared homeless people to pesky birds, that if you don't feed them, then they're going to go away. And if that's the mentality that we're taking, you know, and that's the people we're electing, I mean, shame on us, I guess, you know, for doing that. But, you know, hearts change, sure, and maybe something happened there that really angsted that to happen. But, I mean, a comment like that, to me, is moving far away from equality and human rights and dignity itself than if we're ever going to do something like that. This show is Chilling with Mr. Peace. I'm Mr. Peace. We got Joey Kidd, J-O-E-K-I-D squared, up in here at the Garden City studio.
Yo, Joe.
And then Wanzo as well. This is show number 7, talking about equality, human rights. You know, we are trying to just get equal opportunity on this computer, too, because it was giving us some issues earlier. But we moved past that stuff. We forgave the Microsoft program and Skype program that we were using, and we're having a good time here. I wanted to try to get Mission on the phone again if he's not still in the zombie talk mode. Hey, Mission, you there?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a little bit clearer now? I think you can hear him.
Am I better now?
It's still kind of scratchy, but
let someone call in and see if they can hear him any better than we can.
Yeah, I mean, we have some people online too. I'm not sure if
Hey,
Annette, are you there too?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I hear Mission just fine.
Do you?
The whole show sounds really good.
It could just be our connection. I'll tell you what, Mike, you just go ahead and talk, and special shout out to Annette Aben, who just moved back to Michigan. We're happy to have her still part of our team and even closer to what we're doing here. So,
woo-hoo!
Annette, great to have you back.
Hey, great to be back. Thanks.
All right. Mission, what do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to make it really quick. I have to say thank you guys for coming in today. In light of my absence there, I do have an opinion on the issue. Me and Kevin talked about what exactly equality is, and I wanted to define it as, I know a lot of people say, well, equal rights, human rights. A lot of people correlate it to what was mentioned, race, sex, gender. Is there equality there? Well, I'm looking at the word equality and saying, are things just status quo? Are things just equal? Does every person wake up and feel like they're equal to their neighbor? And in my thought, no. And you can base that on all of those things. I think all of those things make an argument for why things aren't equal. And in regards to the Occupy movement, which I support, in the stance of some of the issues they've touched and try to touch, is basically saying that we need to change. And change is more than, okay, I want to change how things are for people who are unemployed, or people who are losing their homes, or people who don't have anything to eat every day. And it's a little bit more than that. We're looking for change to be something that is an inside just as well as it is an outside thing. We want people to change inside, how they feel, how they love, how they touch someone else. I think all four of us do that in many different ways. We touch people inside, and I think that's what's more important, because things outside are going to change regardless. You're going to get older. You're going to get more intelligent. You're going to pick up more knowledge, but it's about how you touch someone inside. And just like today when people are listening in, it's going to touch them inside. We don't know how it's going to affect them outside, but our words, we hope that it's encouraging. So change. Yeah. Equality is something you build inside, and then I guess the outside features of it will happen. But our main goal is to change the mind of an individual.
Which... That's so true, Mission. One thing that I would say about what you just said is that, and I've said this on stage a couple times, is that we're never going to have peace until we have peace on the inside. We've got to drop our swords in our mind at the feet of the people in front of us. And when we find peace, then we'll find peace in the world.
Sure.
As above, so below, Joe Kidd.
And is at home.
And as Kevin knows, like I say, nothing's impossible.
Well, mission on the track.
Quote, mission on the track. I just wanted to put that out there into the ears of our listeners and to our guests in the studio. Again, I want to thank you guys. I'm not going to be online long here, and I just wanted to put that out there, and awesome. I'll continue to support the movement of change. I think change is more of a better word than equality, because we need to change first for things to be equal. And that's just my thought pattern. You can disagree or agree with me.
That's great.
But I'm going to say, quote, mission on this airway, and have a good show. And I'll talk to you, Kevin, and
thanks,
Joe,
Kevin.
And Juan. Thank you for all.
Thank you for being here.
All right, take care, brother. Peace. And this
okay.
is
see you on Facebook.
That's right.
Oh yeah, definitely.
This is show number 7, chilling with Mr. Peace, and today we have Joe Kidd and Juan Zo in our studio audience talking about equality, human rights, human dignity, all the above, and Mike Mission Smith just sharing his heart right there, right now, with all of us. And you know, I get up in the morning, and every day I'm doing my best to lower the curtains that continue to separate us, and to take the, you know, log out of my eye and the stick out of my eye before I try to, you know, see somebody else's splinters, you know, just kind of realizing that I still am blinded because of somebody that drives the Mercedes-Benz and you're next to your little Tempo or, you know, this like other car. And I mean, you can't deny that that's what people see first, you know, and what the media and the, you know, society in general just pushes down their throats as to what's important, as to what they should value. And that, like you said, Joe, earlier, I mean, we put up so many different barriers that continue to separate us. I guess I want to get at the core as to what's the best way to overcome some of these hurdles. And yes, change, number one, we got to start with the individual, right? We got to internalize that first before we can even better our family, our friends, our immediate environment, and then move on to our city, our community, our state. You know, let's not even say state, because we want to get away from those boundaries and those lines, but, you know, our fellow humans across the earth. And I think when I'm really looking at this, the way that I've had somebody change their heart or change their mind, and again, we can love, only God can, you know, ultimately make that final change in someone else, but what we offer there, we have the effort, and the, you know, he has the outcome. But what I've done is that when I show them a sense of service, you know, when I tell them about my encounters with homeless people, with people in need, when I tell them, you know, that the number one thing that they mention is to what really made an impact on them, it wasn't even the food or the money, but that you showed and acknowledged that you care, that they exist, that they're worth something, that they're worth a damn, you know. And I guess to open their eyes to service, if they can serve somebody that's less fortunate than them, I feel that's the way, that's the ticket for opening their eyes, or at least starting to, as to how you reverse some of these trends, as to how you,
Kevin,
become
you
equal.
Hit it right on the head. If you look at all the holy books, all the major religions, charity, it's all about charity. Charity is a pillar. Charity is a pillar of Islam.
Sure.
Pope John Paul II wrote books about charity. You cannot be a Christian without charity. It's impossible, according to him.
Right.
And I agree
right.
with that. And if you can go right, John has practiced Buddhism with some of the masters, and I'm sure you've heard the same thing through those people, and Native Americans, and just if you want peace and you want all these things that we're dreaming about, that have never happened, by the way. I mean, slavery and indentured servitude, this is nothing new. This starts at day one, and they've been struggling against it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it hasn't happened yet, and it didn't happen today. Maybe tomorrow it will.
Right.
But it will start with giving. It'll start with generosity. And giving not only just stuff, but giving yourself, as you were talking
about. And your
about.
Time, yeah. Your time.
Well, one thing Kev said earlier was, like, how do we do this? I mean, we're talking about these values, these high-minded values, these values from the heart, and how we want to live from the heart. From a practical point of view, how do we achieve that? Well, number one, Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, this show. Music like Joe Kidd does, music uplifting spiritual music, the Occupy movement. The thing is, we've got to get the message out because the media is the message, okay? Our political opponents know that well, and they manipulate the media well, okay? They use the media. And I think I go back and I think years ago, the idea of consumerism or the idea of how do people, you know, in other countries, like back when they used to show the television show Dallas, okay, and they used to watch this, and that was some of the reasons lots of people wanted to immigrate, because in Dallas they showed the United States being paved with streets of gold.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a falsehood. That's a manipulation of the message.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to get our message out there, the message to live from the heart and to treat each other compassionately,
yeah,
and care for each other, we've got to get the message out.
Right. And it's contagious, too. I think, you know, when somebody first experiences that, and I ask people, you know, why peace? You know, why fight for it? You know, why give up your sleep for it? All these things, you know, sometimes be willing to die for it. And the answer I always get is, because of the impact that it's had on me, that the inner peace that I found in my life, or why serve, because of the impact that service has had on me. And so if you get somebody to finally try that out or understand that and, you know, empathize with somebody, see them at that human level, then all of a sudden there's no turning back. You know, they've reached that point of no return. Neek talks about it in one of her songs, Neek Love Rose from Detroit. And, you know, that it's my point of no return. Look inside, see my blue flame burn. That you know, it's a point of no return, that you can't go back, because you've experienced that sense of fulfillment and gratification that's going on right before your eyes. And I think
accomplishment.
That's the big thing. And how do we do it? I mean, social media, we got to reverse the negative comments and post more positive. We got to get on YouTube. We got to get that going more viral than it is Jersey Shore or these other, you know, video clips that, you know, get millions of views for a sneezing panda. I mean, let's get some views for a, you know, Occupy talking about this type of show and wake people's minds up and shake them a little bit. But I think, you know, going and doing the music is where you look at history, where, you know, peaceful revolutions and changes and shifts and all this consciousness and all these things, all these dynamics has happened through the arts, through the music and everything like that.
And how do you do this, though, for the individual who is not a musician, who is not a poet,
yeah,
who doesn't get on the air? How do we do this at a personal level? And I think that's basically the revolution, the evolution at a personal level, the consciousness raising at a personal level, is you yourself, one-to-one, intimately, with those people you come into contact on a daily
right.
basis.
Do it.
The cashier in the checkout line who's frustrated and you're frustrated. You look at, you've got to be able to recognize, and this is where Mission was talking about changing the inner person. You've got to recognize that feeling of frustration that's coming up and say, I'm not going to go there. Choose differently. Choose compassion.
That's right. This is Chilling with Mr. Peace, show number 7, talking about equality, human rights, up in Garden City, where there's gardens in this city, and beautiful ones, The Secret Garden. I remember that movie. I don't know why I just thought about it, but now I kind of want to watch it again. We have someone wanted to say something real quick, I believe. I'm going to put her online and see if she's willing to do that. Sakina? Oh.
Sakina.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Are you there now?
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
Sakina?
Hear me?
Am I saying that wrong? I know I butchered it last time. Sorry.
Yeah,
hold on.
Sakina.
Yeah. Sorry, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, that sounds better. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, was there something that you wanted to say?
Yeah, I did. I basically just wanted to say that equality isn't equal. You know, I think equality is just one of those words that you can put it in the dictionary and or put it in a, type it in the thesaurus, and you come up with a whole bunch of other words. Equality, I feel like, is a state of mind. It's something that you walk with. We teach our kids, you know, that you can do anything that anybody else is doing. But the truth is that, and not trying to offend anybody, but people come to this country every day, and it's set up on a different social level. It's set up on a different financial level, status already, that people that have been here just don't have. And to me, that's not equal, you know. And so, again, like I say, equality isn't equal. It's a state of mind. Anytime you can have somebody, a certain group of people that can come into this country tax-free, you know, that's not equal. It's not equal. When I turn on the TV and I see shows like Basketball Wives or Mob Wives, you know, they basically glorify this criminal behavior, this criminal background, and then want to say it's a lifestyle. Okay, it's a lifestyle, but it's a lifestyle of criminality. But then you get a show like, I don't know, Flavor of Love, and all the chicks on there are ghetto. But they're not doing nothing no different than these wives are doing, basketball or mob. The only thing that's different is where they come from. That's not equal to me, because they're doing the same thing. They got on the same makeup. They wearing the same earrings. They got on the same outfits.
Yep.
You know, they saying the same cuss words. They fighting, doing whatever. But at the same time, the mob wives, it's a lifestyle. You know, it's cute or whatever. But when the girls from the hood trying to get with Flavor Flav or whatever, you know, it's ghetto. So I would just say, you know, as far as equality, I mean, it really starts in the home. It starts with you. And some people just have to fight harder than others when it comes to the government. A lot of the Senate have immunities. They get like 4 immunities within their range or whatever. How is that equal? You know what I mean? I mean, it's like we're dealing with two people. We're dealing with in ourselves. We're dealing with our personal person. And then we are, once we walk out of our homes, we are like this walking billboard. Or
how about this one? Corporations are people. Okay, where does equality come into that?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And that's.
But you know what? One thing that you can do to combat that is just don't turn on that Mob Wives show and that other crazy show. I've never seen those, and I won't. I just don't turn them on. I don't. I've heard about them, but I don't know.
Different set of standards that, I mean, that they're
get rid of
each other too.
If we don't watch it, if we don't talk about it, and we don't buy magazines that tell us stories about those people, they will disappear.
And they should. And they should.
Yeah. And I mean, when you talk about equality, yeah, go ahead, yeah.
And I think it's just like the word legal, you know. Legal and lawful, those are two different things. One of you guys had brought up the point about the police. Sometimes I feel like the police feel like they are the law instead of upholding the law. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, you know, it's a double standard across the board, men and women. You know, I can come in and do the same job that a man does, but he's going to get 20% more than I do.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm sorry?
Well, no, I mean, no, I entirely agree with you. It's no different than these corporations or the politicians setting up these political action committees or making these laws whereby they can take millions of dollars from lobbyists or funds and then manipulate the law to their own end. Is it ethical or moral? No. But have they set it up to be legal? Yes. They're doing what's legal.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, yeah, I mean,
so,
great
points.
I mean,
I think
great
it's
points.
A really fine line between, you know, equality and what's right. Do you want to be equal with this world, or do you want to be, you know, equal with God? Are you going to walk in His way, or are you going to walk in God we trust way? Because the in God we trust way, that's all about the corporation. That's all about the bottom line. It's all about, you know, a government, some type of entity, maybe even a machine, you know, that has nothing to do with actually the person and the morale and the,
right.
You know what I mean? Just like, so.
Yeah, how can there be equality when there's no humanity? And I think that's a key that we have to re-grasp our humanity with each other. And in ourselves.
Totally agree. And I think, everybody's got their own definition of equality. And I know there's a lot of people that bend it in a certain way that they can sleep at night, that they try to do it, you know, based on, well, it's equal for this person and this person, and then, you know, they have all these other rules and regulations that they implement as well to kind of make it more equal, or they say it's going to be equal for a certain set of people or certain people in this income bracket. I mean, it's but what we're trying to do is, like, for the common individual, you know, like the normal person, that their common sense and they can see what's right and wrong. I mean ultimately everyone's got that conscience, and everyone has, you know, God, you know, talking to them in their ear saying what is morally sound or not. And there was a book called There's No Such Thing as Business Ethics by John Maxwell, right? Because his point was there's no such thing as business ethics or sports ethics or academic ethics, whatever. It's either you have ethics or you don't. There's, you know, it's kind of cut and dry, basically. But, no, I mean, great points that everyone's bringing up here. This is show number 7. Chilling with Mr. Peace, second show of the new year, 2012. And if you want to call in, we've got about 15, 20 minutes left here. The number is 646-378-0378. Hit the number 1 on your keypad. If you want a lesson in how to use Skype and or other computer programming involving microphone devices, you can call this number. Call this number too, and I will be happy to inform you how that works too. Anyways, we are just so blessed to be here, continuing our path in 2012, a year of rebirth, a year of so much stuff going on. You know, it's really humbling to obviously be in the presence of some great musicians, some great hearts here in our studio today. Joe Kidd and Wanzo, John Smolinski here, and then my friend Mike Mission Smith calling in too a little bit earlier, and Sakena, some great comments too. We appreciate all that, everyone sharing their hearts. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to kind of wrap up with a couple of comments. Never mind. We got another comment coming in here. Let's go to that just before break. Hey, Mission, is this you again?
Yeah.
Okay, did you have to say something?
Yeah, you guys really touched some good things there, and I just could not resist by not saying anything
in
regards to...
You couldn't hang up, could you? You couldn't hang up.
No, I couldn't. I guess I couldn't. Couldn't get away from the show. But like I said, I what you just said, the group of you, we're talking about... justice, equality, all those words. I was just reading an author named Michael Zadale, who wrote a book called Justice. And he defined justice as doing the right thing. And just to strike a question, because you got a couple minutes there, what is the right thing? Maybe something you could take home with you, Joe, Juan, maybe something you could use in the future. What is the right thing to do? And to me, I think that is a complex question. What is the right thing to do? I think it's based on what it is you're doing. Like you said, everybody's not a musician or a poet or a radio show host. So what is the right thing to do in what you're doing? Whether it's just going to work every day. Maybe you just say hello to somebody who normally doesn't hear hello in the morning. And that's the right thing to do.
Right.
Just striking that note in your head, maybe – figuring out what the right things to do every day, not just one time or in one moment.
Mission, I was speaking to some elementary students the other day, and I bring up this example where I tell them that there's this little kid that came up to me and he said, "Are you my daddy?" And I said, no, little Jimmy, I'm not. I'm Mr. Peace. And he said, "Well, Mr. Peace, what if I found this wallet? You know, like, what should I do?" You know, and he said, someone's laughing over there. He said, you know, what should I do? And I said, well, I mean, you have to return it, right? And then he said, well, what if it has $100 in it, right? I said, you still got to return it, right? And he said, what if it's got $1,000, $2,000, $3,000? I mean, you know, he keeps questioning. And I said, you still got to return it. And what I then turned to, you know, all the other students and told them is that because it's the right thing to do. And, you know, then this other question popped up, and these are second graders, third graders that are already thinking about this, you know, well, what if it's really, really, really hard? You know, what if it's really, really hard to do? I said, you still got to do it. You know, and we talked about an incident when I was growing up and the baseball bat flung out of my hand, went through my parents' front window. I tried covering it up for 2 weeks. Told eventually my dad found out about it and was more upset 2 weeks later than he would have been if I told him first. But, I mean, as hard as that was to finally deal with, it's because
right.
It's the right thing to do. And not saying anything this is easy, not saying embracing peace and equality and justice and all these other preambles of the Declaration of Universal Rights, you know, right to a peaceful assembly, right to education, right to, you know, the basically you have a right, but you also have a responsibility. You have a duty to help your community out, to do something positive. I don't care if it's, you know, my hometown of South Lyon, which is 10 to 20,000 residents, or it's the, you know, Tri-City Detroit that you're trying to make an impact. And I'm, you know, just you're always going to have those opportunities, and that's what we've been talking about this show and past shows, and why it's so important to keep giving back. This is Chairman of the Peace, show number 7, talking about equality, human rights, pushing towards equality. It's obviously Black History Month here in February, so we wanted to really touch on this topic as it relates to so many other things than color, though, too, and talk about what it really means to have justice and have, you know, equal opportunities for everybody out there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to close with Wanzo, Joe Kidd, and myself. Thanks so much for listening.
Baby, baby. Yeah. This one right here goes out to all the mamas. All the peace mamas. Yo, check it. It's like this. On a bamboo pole standing 9 feet tall, it's a larger than life. Female doll made of paper mache. She got wool hair braids. Yeah, peace mama been in countless parades. Born in Michigan from Kalamazoo. And it's true that peace mama do love you.
Ooh.
Covered by fabric, a nice glossy cloak. Her arms extend by the strands of a rope. And while peace sign earrings dangle from her ears, yo, it takes 3 people to steer her gears. And walk, not run, cause peace mommy play it safe. You can tell by her smile and that loving cute face. She's mobile, always waving, nodding and swaying. And when she puts her hands together, well, she's praying. Serving as a symbol for an end to war. Only thing better is peace mama times 4. She loves it when you call her peace mama. Put your hands in the air if you're a puppet, yeah.
Whoa.
She loves it when you call her peace mama. To all the puppets but not muppets, no, we're talking about mommy,
yeah.
She loves it when you call her peace mama. If she's in the rhyme, throw up the peace sign,
hey.
Cause I see some people tonight that should be loving this lady. Lady. Created by a woman from the group Code Pink. Peace Mama came to Earth back in 2003. Then was adopted by Department of Peace. Bringing nonviolence to all those in need. With pure love, but she doesn't even speak. Her presence alone is enough to reach so many, and she do since she was conceived. She an anti-war theater on the street. So put on all the lights like Kanye West. Cause peace mama won't quit, no she won't rest. Till she's brought all of the soldiers back. To stop fighting this war, they still fight in Iraq. And she'll stay vigil, yes, some have seen her. Like on the anniversary of Hiroshima. Her only wish that humans could find the same peace. She carries with her and gives to those that she meets. She loves it when you call her peace mama. Put your hands in the air if you're a puppet, yeah.
Whoa.
She loves it when you call her peace mama. To all the puppets but not muppets, no, we're talking about mommy,
yeah.
She loves it when you call her peace mama. If she's in the rhyme, throw up the peace sign,
hey.
Cause I see some people tonight that should be loving this lady. Lady. Yeah. It's peace mama and Mr. Peace. And peace mama number 2 coming very soon from Kalamazoo right to a drive-thru near you, a cinema. Yeah, jig it out, baby, baby. Peace mama, Obama. Peace mama, the Dalai Lama. Peace mama, I like llamas. Peace.
Baby, baby. Baby, baby. Oh, gotta love it. Gotta love it. Chilling with Mr. Peace.
I chillin'. Chillin' with Mr. Peace.
That's my new intro and outro right there. Instead of body, mind, spirit, we're gonna have a chillin', eating chili with Mr. Peace.
Really?
Man. This is show number 7. We got been talking about equality all afternoon here, and human rights, human dignity, and had some really good conversations, some good thoughts coming up. I'm hoping some of these words are gonna touch some hearts through these waves, coming to some ears around the great state of Michigan. I know we got people down listening in Ohio and Indiana.
Resonating out in the universe.
Trying. Always. We always got the effort. Now, what I wanted to
listening
just...
Listening on Mars.
Hopefully sure. It reaches out there. What I want to just touch on before we close, and I'll give you guys some of your final thoughts and comments, but the one thing that I keep thinking about that was probably sparked a lot of my activism and started me on my journey had to do with what happened back in 2006. And what happened was I was at the University of Michigan. I was a senior, and Proposal 2 had just passed, which banned the use of affirmative action, to be used in the state through employment, through education, et cetera. And it was similar to Prop 209, which passed in the mid to late 90s over in California, which after it passed, the year after, diversity ratios at those public institutions dropped drastically. And so the fear was it was going to happen again here in Michigan, right? Well, the drops, the expected drops at the University of Michigan in particular in Ann Arbor that were expected didn't happen. And a lot of the reason behind that was because of programs in place, not any panacea or cure-alls by any means, but different programs, mentorships to incoming freshmen. They had a task force called Diversity Blueprints, which was brainstorming all these potential solutions, different orientations to welcome all these different cultures in, really still pushing for diversity as the staple there to attract, people to apply from out of state, from, internationally, everywhere. Whereas, before, people, that were part of these minorities and different socioeconomic groups were, getting preferential treatment in terms of more points and everything. And, what I'm trying to get at, though, is that it angered me and disheartened me that it passed, right? Because I know people in those situations from those different cities, the statistics prove that a lot of them are minorities that need the extra assistance, need the extra boost and the extra help, right? That it's still not that evil, that equal playing ground. It is an evil playing ground, that's right. But the fact is that I want to get to a point that we don't have to worry about that is kind of my point. That we have this Peace Day celebration every year promoting ethnic and cultural equality, and it's going to be our 7th year in September. And to think about that is accomplishment in itself, but all these mini Peace Days we do everywhere to bring communities together, to bring connection about, and to bring equality, to have these open forums for it. But, I mean, all these working together is what preserved diversity there at Michigan without affirmative action in place. So it's possible. Now we need to replicate the model. We need to bring it to other, to keep doing what we're doing. But I'm always the believer, I bask in the glory and the great concert that we had this night. But then all of a sudden I'm moving on and I want something bigger. I want to go to Hart Plaza. I want to, go statewide. I want to go in, I'm always dreaming big, I guess. And so just to keep that in mind, as we go forward that, the equality is not just happening here in Michigan. Yeah, the economy's been really bad the last, couple of years and compared to other states in the country. But if we're supposed to be this united group, if we're supposed to be a human race, let's get help from everybody. When this place is doing good, help out your neighbors, right? If this place is doing bad, ask for help and hopefully it'll be received. So some of the things I was thinking about today, Joey Kidd, Wanzo, any closing thoughts?
I just wanted to say thanks to Mr. Peace for having me down here today to talk on these, heavy subjects and try to shine some light on them in the dark corners.
Yeah.
Thanks to Maxwell's Art and Treasure, Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And I think, As you get out there every day in the world, work on your own equality, and that I'm going to define that as your own evolutionary quality. And as you evolve and you go up that ladder, make sure you take someone by the hand when you can and bring them up there with you.
Yeah. Quality is a state of mind, as one of our guests talked about today.
And I would like to just add something or comment on what Mission said earlier. He was asking us or commenting about the what's the right thing to do. And there's many, many right things to do. I think one very important right thing to do is to show mercy to people. And none of us are perfect. No one's perfect, ourselves included. And if you can show a little mercy to the people that mess up and don't do exactly what you want them to do, then you'll find that you'll have mercy as well, and that will bring about peace. One other thing I wanted to say about political activism, and that the more involved you become in the peace movement, there, believe it or not, there is a certain danger to that, because there are enemies of the peace movement.
Sure.
And you'll find that history will prove that to you when you look at people that were that became more powerful in that movement: Martin Luther King, Gandhi, John Lennon. Peace, they all died by violent hand. Goes all the way back to Christ, if you want to go back that far, as a peace activist. So be careful. It can be dangerous, but you have to have courage, and you have to just look beyond that.
Yeah.
I want to plug one group of friends of ours, and we did a benefit for them last night. It's called the Detroit Underground Initiative, and they take one Sunday once a month. They go out to Cass Park, across the street from the Masonic Temple downtown, and they feed the hungry people in that neighborhood. And it's a great event. We've played there before, and we did a show for them last night, and it was a great turnout. People are in it, and there you can reach them on tapdetroit.com, tapdetroitradio.com.
Thanks so much,
That's
Joe.
It, brother.
Joe Kidd and Juan Zo from the Sedition World Orchestra, great group of musicians, along with Jacqueline, Diana, Eve, doing some great work all across the state and sharing their hearts, continuing to spread the message of peace. And you think about the peace movement and how many times we look vertically when times get tough and want to reach out to the things and the materials. You know, when times get tough, let's start looking more horizontally, right? And going back to our brothers and sisters standing to the left of us and to the right of us and behind us and in front of us, and thinking about all those things. If you want to follow us too, Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, thanks again to Annette Aben for her patience today, Brandon McKay, Penny Golden, all the people here in Garden City at Maxwell's Arts and Treasures for sure. If you want to follow any of this live broadcasting and listen to it back, feel free to check us out, facebook.com/MrPeace101. As well as YouTube.com, Twitter. You can tweet us, do that little birdie thing. You can do that too. And my main website, being who I want to be with the number 2, .org. You can find us there too. Thanks so much for listening, hearing us, sharing your hearts today.
Peace on earth.
Equality Yo. To all, equality to all, and much love, which shall never cease, is what I'm feeling there.
Respect.
Thank you. God
Peace
bless.
Out.
Peace.
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.